Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Centum Electronics Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities. I would like to mention a cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management beliefs as well as assumptions made by and the information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in the making investment decisions. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhavani Kumar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities, I welcome you all to Centum Electronics Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. From the management side, we have Mr. Nikhil Malhar-Appu, Executive Director, and Mr. K.S. Desikan, Chief Financial Officer. First of all, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to host this call. I would now like to hand over the floor to the management for the opening remarks, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you to our Q1 FY25 earnings call. I would like to mention a special thanks to our host today at JM Financial, Mr. Bhavani. Let me first brief you on the key performance highlights for the quarter and the year under review, after which our CFO, Mr. Desikan, will take you through the financial highlights. In the first quarter under review, revenue from operations was flat year-on-year at a consolidated level, primarily due to a particular contract with a certain customer that was accounted on a net basis in accordance with Ind AS 115, amounting to rupees 4 crore. The gross value of invoicing in respect of this contract was to the tune of 23 crore for the quarter ended June 30th, 2024. Had it not been for this accounting treatment, the adjusted consolidated year-on-year revenue growth would have been 7% to rupees 264.5 crore for Q1 FY25. Additionally, due to the lumpy nature of the BTS business, some domestic defense contracts have been skewed towards the second half of the year, where we expect 70% of the invoicing expected to happen in H2 FY25 for this business. In our subsidiary, we saw a slight improvement, with the EBITDA margin improving to 3% as compared to negative 0.7% in Q1 FY24. On the margin front, at the standalone level, EBITDA margin declined due to this adverse mix between the high-margin BTS business, which was lower in contribution in Q1. This is expected to recover in H2 FY25 with a higher level of BTS deliveries to defense and space customers, thereby improving the margins. Overall, at the consolidated level in the current year, we continue to work towards achieving our medium-term targets for both growth and margins. Next, on our order book position, this has grown marginally to 1,674 crore at the end of the first quarter. Our pipeline remains healthy, and we expect a strong order booking, especially in the domestic defense and space BTS business in the current year. In other updates, Centum received a supplier award from Baker Hughes in the collaborate category as a result of the exceptional work done to increase capacity and manage supply chain volatility effectively. This is a great recognition of our team's work to maintain the highest levels of service and customer satisfaction. Now, I'd like to hand over the call to our CFO, Desikan, to brief you on the financials.
Thank you, Nikhil. And once again, a warm welcome to all of you. At a consolidated level, the revenue from operation was INR 246 crores, which was kind of flat year-on-year. The EBITDA for the quarter was 16 crores, which is down year-on-year, with the EBITDA margins reported at 6.34%. While we had a net loss of 3.8 crores for the quarter, at a standalone level, the revenue from operations for the quarter was about 133 crores, which grew by 4% year-on-year. The EBITDA for the quarter was about INR 13 crores, which was down on year-on-year, with the EBITDA margin reported at 9.6%. The net profit for the quarter was 4.5 crores, which declined by 37% year-on-year. Since you have all the numbers with you, I will stop here, and we can open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Nirali Gopani from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding this contract, where the gross value of invoicing was 23 crores and the revenue recognized was 4 crores. So will the rest of the revenue be recognized in the coming quarters? Can you just briefly explain it?
Yeah. So, very quick background here. This contract that we're talking about here is with a new customer that we have added in the past year. It is for the UAE market, and it's for a defense customer. We won a significant order in the past year, which is to be delivered in the current year to the tune of about $9-$10 million. And the reason for this treatment is essentially that the material needed to execute this order was secured by our customers in the past due to the supply chain situation. So for this current order, the customer has asked us to buy the material from him and manufacture the product and sell the finished product to the customer until this inventory is depleted. Subsequently, after which it will be a regular turnkey contract, where we will be responsible for procuring all the material and supplying it. So in the current quarter, as a result of that treatment, the auditors have asked us to account it on a net basis rather than a gross basis. So for the quarter, as mentioned, this impact was about impact as in from the top line only was to the tune of about 23 crores. And we expect on a full year basis that this contract value will be, as I mentioned, to around $9 million.
Okay, so coming quarters will also see a similar kind of an impact, right?
Yes. Yes.
So just to be clear, this contract or the revenue impacted will have no impact on the margins. This is only on the revenue side.
Correct. Exactly. Correct.
You sound very confident about growing in double digits. So should we expect an 18%-20% of kind of a growth for full year FY 2025?
So we, as you know, we In summary, basically, we continue to work towards that, and we feel that even in the current year, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, that in the current year as well, we expect to achieve that. Of course, considering this would be account, if this was accounted on a gross basis. Obviously, this accounting treatment itself will have a certain amount of impact at a top-line basis of to the tune of about 5-6% or so on a full-year basis. But if you were to consider the full revenue at a gross level, then we do expect to maintain that 18-20% growth.
Right. What gives us this confidence to achieve this 19% level of margin? Because last few quarters, our margins have been slightly impacted. So if you can just talk briefly on that.
Sure. Two things, simply put. I think one is, as I mentioned, in the current quarter, again, the high margin disrespect business was quite low. We expect 70% of the billing for this part of the business to come in the second half of the year and perhaps a little bit more even skewed towards Q4. But this has been the pattern for most companies in the space. I mean, these are government contracts. You see a lot of billing happening in Q3, Q4 typically. So as and when those invoices happen, the margins will definitely, see the improvement, as I mentioned, in the second half. Secondly, on the subsidiary level, as I mentioned, we've been working on this restructuring plan. We've taken certain costs out. We expect those to start, impacting us positively, starting towards the end of the first quarter and going into the second quarter subsequently. So even at the subsidiary level, we expect a margin improvement in the subsequent quarters. So with these two contributors, we feel we should be able to improve our overall EBITDA margin for the year on a full year basis.
Perfect. Just last one question. What was the contribution from VTS for the quarter?
It was about 13 to 15%.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for answering.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, a couple of questions. So what margin trajectory we expect for standalone as well as consolidated level going forward? And what factors which has impacted the raw material cost as the percentage of sales during the quarter? And going forward, how are we going to manage those volatility to maintain our desired level of margin? Yeah, I will ask follow-up later on. Yeah.
So, Chirag, hello. Just to repeat, the first part of the question was with regard to the EBITDA margins, and the second part was on material cost.
Yes.
Okay. So, in terms of the overall EBITDA margin, we are still working. As we mentioned in the past quarter, we are continuing to work towards on a full year basis at a standalone level to be in the range of around 13%, 13, +6%, and at a consolidated basis in the 10 to 12% EBITDA margin, right, on a full year basis. So that's the answer to your first question. The second one with regard to the material cost, basically this is two things. It's clearly related to product mix and what projects or programs are delivered in any given quarter. So our view on why we feel the material cost should improve subsequently is, as I mentioned earlier, the higher margin BTS business is much more heavily skewed towards the second half of the year, so that will play a part in terms of improving the product mix and consequently margin in the second half of the year.
Just to add, in terms of raw material cost, is influenced by the business mix and not, you know, material cost increases.
Sure.
The cost remained constant, but because the mix changed adversely, BTS being low, and I stand corrected, one small correction. Earlier question, the contribution of BTS to the total is about 26%. I said 13%, but it is 26%. Because BTS being low, raw material cost is high. But if you look at console as a full year, last year we were about 48 to 50%, and it will be in the same order for the whole year also.
Okay. And if you look at your other expenses, percentage of sales at console and standalone both, it posted a remarkable improvement. So, is it one time in nature or due to lower business volume, or is it like a permanent phenomena going forward?
Yeah, the reduction in both manpower costs as well as other expenses, mainly from the subsidiary, is a result of the actions taken over the past 6 months. And we can say that we expect levels to be maintained at the Q1 levels.
For both console and standalone, right?
Yes, please. That's right.
Okay. And if I look your commentary of previous three con call and all, you mentioned that in FY25, EMS is going to be a growth driver from automotive, electric mobility, and all such verticals is going to contribute industry wise. So is that outlook remain intact, or are we experiencing that the industry mix is somewhat changing than what we expected for the 2 quarters back for FY25 top line?
Yeah, so again, Chirag, the FY25 outlook, as I mentioned earlier, once if you look at it on a gross accounting basis, we are still maintaining the growth of 18% or so at a consolidated basis. Again, more heavily skewed clearly towards our EMS business in the current year. So that remains intact. In terms of contribution by industry, I think in this year as a whole, we are seeing a higher growth contribution coming from the defense and aerospace part of the business as compared to earlier, but we are also seeing some healthy new customer additions and pipelines happening on the industrial side as well. But for the current financial year, I would say the biggest growth contributor in terms of segment is expected to be more in defense and aerospace.
Nikhil, in defense and aerospace, some of top players facing issues in procuring engine part from the OEM. So do you see that as a risk in execution, or is that the issue now get addressed or not?
Sorry, Chirag, your question was a little bit muffled. Can you repeat this?
Yeah.
In defense and aerospace, right, some of the players who can be your client, you know, facing issue with respect to procuring the engine part and other relevant components from the global OEM. Do you think that's going to be somewhat challenging to, you know, execute order in this vertical? Any color on that?
Yeah, supply chain is always a critical aspect and a risk aspect as far as execution is involved in this business. We continue to maintain a strong, close monitoring of it. I would say one area of risk which we continue to monitor closely is around the delivery of their PCB boards from our supply base in France, which is, you know, specific to one of our large customers in the segment. Having said that, you know, we are taking various mitigating actions to address that well in advance. And, you know, we still feel that, you know, our numbers that we're projecting are achievable, you know, considering this risk.
In short, you know, there are issues, but they are quite manageable and we are quite confident about it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Ankit Babel from Shubhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Nikhil, actually, your voice was not very clear, so I missed that margin guidance point. And your voice is, since your voice is still not clear, I would request Mr. Desikan if he can, you know, reiterate what is the margin guidance both on standalone and consolidated basis for this year.
So, like what Nikhil was saying, the midterm targets, we are doing our best to achieve them, which has been, you know, at a consolidated level, we were talking about 18% growth on the top line. With the gross accounting, we should be able to achieve that 18%. But unfortunately, we have this problem of net accounting now, so it may reduce by about 5% or so. We are working with the auditors, but I think like what he mentioned, this gross accounting, net accounting is going to be an issue. So top line, 18% at gross accounting level is what we are saying. And at EBITDA level, consolidated level, we are targeting about 10 to 11% as he had mentioned earlier. We are still on the same target.
Okay, on a gross basis, if your revenue is 18% growth, then on that base, 10 to 11% EBITDA margin. Is
yes.
it the right way to say?
That's right, yes.
Okay. And my second question is that in every quarterly presentation and in every conference call, we mentioned that the order pipeline is very strong. But somehow on the order book side, we are not getting that, you know, attraction. So are you facing any delays in receiving any orders or how's the case?
Two things, Ankit. One is that, you know, we have a different horizon of orders for the different parts of the business. So BTS part of the business, as you know, has a little bit higher horizon, whereas our EMS part of the business, I mean, the BTS business can have 2+ years, 2.5 years kind of execution horizon, whereas EMS business, historically, in a normal time, when supply chain is stable, you normally will have 6 to 9 months of orders and then customer forecasts beyond that. But in the supply chain period that we had in the past couple of years, customers gave us an extended time horizon of orders, which is now coming back to a normal basis. So that's one factor. Where basically our numbers that we are reporting here is only based on firm purchase orders from our customers. It doesn't take into account customer forecasts that extend beyond that. And so as customers come back to normalcy with the lower time horizon of firm purchase orders, that will obviously have an impact in terms of our overall firm order book. That is one. The second is on the engineering services side also, as we had mentioned earlier, one of our strategies in the short term to be able to improve our margins is to reduce the number of high-risk fixed-price contracts where we've historically had overruns and so on, where, again, those kind of contracts you have a little bit longer time horizon, whereas in a delivery center, a service center, or consulting type of business model, you have a shorter horizon of firm purchase orders. So these have obviously played a role in terms of the reflection on a firm order book. But having said that, you know, as I mentioned earlier also, we are expecting a strong order intake in terms of BTS orders in the current year, coming from various programs that we have invested in developing products in the past, you know, around space, defense satellites. Second is around radars. Third is around land systems, you know, for tanks and so on. So all of these are in advanced stages, and we expect to have a healthy order intake in this part of the business in the current year.
So, sir, since your BTS projects have the highest margins, so and you are expecting good orders in this year, so is it fair to assume that the margin trajectory will be very good next year also? Once these orders get into execution?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So we continue to work on improving the margins by obviously growing our higher margin BTS business.
Okay. And sir, in the current year, you mentioned that going forward, both revenues and margins will improve. So this will happen only from H2 onwards, or we can see some traction in Q2 of this year also? The current quarter which is going on?
We expect the majority of it to happen in H2. As I mentioned, you know, the two factors. One is the BTS defense business, where we are expecting almost 70% of our invoicing to happen in the second half of the year. And also in our subsidiary, normally Q2 is a slower quarter because of the summers in France, which is lower in terms of invoiceable working days. Q3 and Q4 are a bit stronger on that side. So with both of these effects, we expect the margins to reflect more in the second half of the year.
Okay, so last one clarification. When you give this 10 to 11% EBITDA margin guidance, is it including other income or excluding other income?
No, EBITDA margins, we don't include other income.
You don't, huh? Okay. And sir, sorry, one more question to squeeze in about the debt and working capital. How are they shaping up?
In terms of working capital, there is a slight increase in the Q1 and roughly about 20-25 crores over the March levels. But by end of September, when we come to you with the balance sheet, we plan to be at the same level like March.
So in number of days wise or in absolute? Because in number of days wise, it was just 61 days at the end of March.
Correct. So it will be around that by end of September.
Okay. And what's the debt position currently on a net basis?
At console level, we are at 190 crores. And it should come down by about 10-15 crores. So we should be about 180 crores.
By September?
Yes.
And by the end of the year, what are your targets for debt?
By end of the year, we should bring it down by another at least 10 crores because we have some capex coming up, so the cost will be there to that extent. So we should be closing at about 170 crores.
So this reduction in debt level you expect in spite of increase in the BTS revenue, which typically has a higher working capital.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay. So how would it be possible, sir?
No, like what he said, the second half BTS business, bulk of the BTS, 70% of the BTS business will get executed and that should be generating cash. Plus also we expect certain customer advances for these new orders that we are looking at. So the debt levels, I think we should be able to manage.
So on the interest cost point of view, it will be that same for 35 to 40 crores.
Exactly. I think last time also we asked the same question. Yes, we maintain that the same level. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Nirali Gopani from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. Just a couple of clarifications. So you mentioned that BTS was 26% of the revenue for the quarter and for FY24 it was 48 to 50%, right?
Yeah.
No.
It was
30%.
Yeah,
it
will be
30%.
Yes.
Sorry, it's not very clear.
No.
Can you repeat?
Yeah, FY24, it was 30%. Whereas 30%. Q1, we are at 26%.
Okay, and for this full year, FY25, also we expect it to be around 30%.
Yes, it will be about 30% for the FY25, yes.
And just one last clarification. So if we recognize the revenue on gross basis, for full year it would have been around 265 crores, but the EBITDA would have been only 15.5 crores, which we have already reported, right? So optically the margin would have been still lower than what we have done, like it would have been lower than 6%, right?
Are you talking about the quarter one, 265 crores?
Yes, on the gross level.
At the gross level, that's right. It's about 23 crores more than what we have actually published. But in terms of EBITDA, it won't make a big difference because this is EMS business.
The impact in terms of EBITDA margin may be to the tune of 0.5% or 0.6%.
Yes.
Okay, fine. And just if you can help us, like what kind of EBITDA margin do we make in BTS?
On our what we've been basically saying is typically build-to-spec business, we should be operating at close to a 20% EBITDA level, whereas EMS should be at around 11%, 11 to 12% level.
Okay. Fine. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chirag Kachadia from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead. Chirag, your line is in the talk mode, sir. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, Nikhil, one question. During the quarter, from our EMS vertical, what sort of projects we deliver to the client?
Just to repeat, your question was what sort of projects?
I mean, the type of project, what sort of work we deliver to the client and which industries we catered during the quarter?
Yeah. So, you know, as we show in our earnings presentation, I would say roughly half of our business is for the defense and aerospace segment, where we are delivering, you know, various types of projects, whether it's for, this is all build-to-print programs when I say EMS, right? So, these are exported to our customers, globally speaking. So, it may be for a missile program, it may be for communication radio, it is for air traffic management. So different types of applications that we deliver on the EMS side for defense. Apart from that, on the industrial side, you know, these can be for grid automation, applications, industrial automation, and so on. On the transport and automotive side, these are for, you can say on the transport side, we are delivering for, again, the railway programs and stuff, which is delivered actually through our subsidiary over there. And on the automotive side, it is primarily for electric vehicles, for heavy vehicles, trucks and buses and so on. Finally, on the healthcare side, for digital radiography and, you know, a few other diagnostic equipment like that. So these are recurring business in nature. And obviously there is some in, there may be in certain cases a little bit of fluctuation quarter to quarter, but for the most part, these are recurring business.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Drashti from Thinqwise. Please go ahead.
Awesome. Would it be possible to give us the total addressable market of each of your segments, which you've just mentioned, geography-wise as well, just to give us a sense of, you know, what our potential target market would be?
It's a bit of a difficult question to answer, to be honest. I mean, the potential target markets in these kind of industries are massive. So, I mean, it would almost, you know, these go to the tune of billions of dollars in terms of addressable market. But, you know, I think it's more relevant to talk about, I would say, just in terms of what we are seeing and projecting as a growth rate in terms of new customer additions and so on. But, as I also said in the past, you know, typically, whenever we have a customer engagement, our target is to be at a minimum engagement level of around $10 million with a given customer. And, you know, our bigger customers are $20+ kind of million-dollar kind of engagements. And, you know, we are seeing, you know, good pipeline of new customers that are either looking at us because of Make in India requirement or because of China Plus One, which we are in the process of qualifying and adding, which we hope to get into production in the next financial year. And those, again, we feel, in a 1.5 to 2 year kind of timeline, can get up to a $10 million kind of engagement.
Okay, sir. And so, in the 18%-20% growth that we are estimating for FY 2025, could you help us with what is the repeat customer of this, and what is the new customer contribution in this?
I would say I don't have an exact answer for you to on this, but I would say to the tune of about maybe between 10% to 15% or so, maybe new customers, completely new customers that we are executing, and the rest of it would be repeat customers. And in certain cases, part of repeat customers may be new business from repeat customers itself. So, But I would say, yeah, roughly around 10 to 15% is new customers that we've added.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Bhavani Shankar Kumawat from JM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, sir, my question was regarding the order book which you have of approximately 1600 crores. Can you just help me with the bifurcation? With all segments you are having the same, and also within how much time this order will be executed?
Breakup will be in the same like what we have given as the revenue, which is ER&D is about 32% and EMS is about 42%, and BTS will be about 30%. That will be in the same order, it won't change.
And what will be the timeline for the order execution, sir? In between how much time this order will be executed?
I think our order book, if you say again, the time horizons for each of these are maybe slightly varying from each other. But overall, I think this what we've been saying is if on an average basis is like a 15-month kind of execution period.
Got it. And which all segments are you are seeing that?
Okay, 13 to 15 months, vary a little bit, but yeah, it's
got it. Thank you so much for this. On the category side, which all segment you are seeing that the demand is improving there? Also on the abroad side, because Europe is been facing the significant headwinds over there. So can you help us how things are shaping up there, and down the line, down the one or two quarters, how one should look at your employee expenses also?
Sorry, just to repeat, the question is with regard to how the demand is looking from a geography standpoint or from an industry standpoint?
First from the geography point of view, and then from the industry. And the third question is with regard to the employee, how one should look at your employee expenses going forward.
Okay. So from a geography standpoint, I would say the two areas where we're seeing the healthy pipeline is one is some North American customers, which are, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, we're in the phase of qualification right now, which we expect to secure orders for and forecast for by the end of this year. Those are from North America. And also domestically for the Indian market, we are also seeing a very healthy pipeline of opportunities, both from defense and space, as well as from the railway segment. I would say these two are the ones that we are seeing a healthy pipeline of opportunities.
Got it. Quite helpful. Also on the employee expense side, how one should look at?
Yeah, employee expenses, obviously, we have a very different model for the different types of business, because as you know, on the standalone part of the business, which is a manufacturing business, employee costs are one part of the thing, maybe to the tune of about 15% or so of the standalone revenues. So that, I think we should continue to be in line with that as we grow, maybe some marginal operating leverages and stuff that we may have in terms of the employee cost of revenue. The second is with regard to the subsidiary, which is fundamentally a man-hours billing kind of business. So as the revenues grow there, you will see the proportionate increase in terms of manpower cost also. Our objective there is obviously to try to have as much of that increase happening in India rather than in France, to be able to improve the overall gross margin of the engineering services business. So I would say that in short, the difference between the two types of businesses and the view in terms of projection going forward. Obviously, the subsidiary, we expect to grow at a much lower pace than the standalone business. Standalone, we target to have at a 25%+ kind of growth rate, whereas the subsidiary is at a high single digit or around 10% kind of growth rate that we'd like to achieve.
What is quite helpful. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Shroff from Cast Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of questions. First is, can you just elaborate on the customer concentration in our revenue? So what will be the proportion of our largest customers in total revenue?
Roughly, I would say our top five customers contribute to about 50% of the overall revenue, and the rest is after that. So in terms of customer concentration, that's what it roughly looks like.
Okay. And second is, in terms of competitive intensity, last few years, after the sector has been opened up for private sector largely, especially on the defense side, we've seen a spate of new companies, including startups and all, coming in. So how do you see the competitive intensity in the business, and is it actually impacting our margins?
I'll answer your second question first. I would say what's impacting our margins most is clearly the subsidiary part of the business. So that's where our major focus is, to basically fix the margin at the subsidiary, because that is operating at a very low level compared to what we feel we can achieve with that, right? So from our numbers reporting standpoint, the biggest leverage from a margin standpoint is clearly fixing our subsidiary, and those are the actions that I have mentioned earlier, and we hope that it will play out in the coming year and going into next year as well. Second will be the contribution in terms of the mix of the business, because as I mentioned, the build-to-spec part of the business carries a little bit higher margin compared to the EMS part of the business. And while the EMS has been a strong growth driver and contributor in the past year and also in the coming year, we expect, with the visibility in terms of order intake we are hoping to have this year, even the build-to-spec part of the business should contribute, and should continue to contribute in terms of growth in the subsequent years. So these are the two factors that impact margin from our perspective. And as you mentioned, our medium-term objective is to move towards the 13% to 15% EBITDA level at a consolidated basis. Now, to answer your first question. Sorry, is there a question?
No, go ahead.
So to come back to your first question with regard to competitive intensity, absolutely there is a your existing players being more aggressive to be able to capture as much business as possible. That is a clear thing that will happen as opportunities grow. So this is where it's important also for us to identify growth opportunities, but also where we have an advantage in terms of being able to have strong relationships with customers. And I think on that side, there's two things. One, on the EMS part of the business, I think we have a strong export orientation. And so even if it's in many cases for the Indian market or for exports because of China Plus One, we are able to build strong relationships with global OEMs that have a large spend that they're having. So I think that's one thing that we continue to push and focus on. Second is also on the BTS part of the business. As I mentioned earlier, there's been a lot of work that's gone in over the past couple of years in terms of designing products that are either for new platforms or products that are a replacement of an imported product where there is IP involved. And this again is something that we are one of very few companies that are able to do these kind of products. As an example, on the railway side of the business, we are delivering passenger information systems for trains. This was the technology that came actually through our subsidiary that we have now shifted a lot of the development work and also all the manufacturing to India already. There is a huge demand for metros and now also for the passenger trains like Vande Bharat and so on, all of which require these passenger information systems. And globally speaking, even for these Indian projects, a large part of this was imported previously from China or other parts of the world. And we are one of the first companies to be able to deliver this product at a world-class performance level domestically, and that's opened up some good opportunities for us, which we are focused on converting. So, like that, there are other examples also on the defense side, and so we continue to focus on some of these IP creation kind of opportunities to capture the opportunity.
Okay. So, in a nutshell, what you're saying is that although competitive intensity may be high, but considering our pedigree and the vintage that we have, maybe we have certain advantage.
That's right.
Yeah. But then, how long will this last? Because the new companies or the existing ones will also catch up in terms of the same pedigree and the vintage. So, my question is that. Is it that over the medium term, we will continue to see very, very high level of competition leading to moderation of margins, not only for us, but across the sector?
So let me put it like this. It's an interesting question. First of all, I should appreciate that. But if I look at our business and take one by one, if you look at the BTS business, of course, there is a lot of competitive intensity, but the way we are positioning is what is important. For example, in the BTS business, the domestic defense space, etc., I think the opportunity is exploding in terms of, the Make in India or the positive indigenization list. The pie is only increasing, and we choose to operate at a certain high end of the technology areas like the radar, the electronic warfare, etc. So in terms of opportunities, I think that's quite high, but the competition is not very much there in those high tech areas. And also the BTS of the railway opportunities that Nikhil mentioned, because of our association with our Canadian subsidiary, which has this technology, we are able to win orders locally in the railway infrastructure market, which is booming. And we operate under PAPIS, which is Public Announcement and Passenger Information System. And we enjoy a very strong position there, I would say. And if you look at the EMS model, yes, there are competition, but the way we have positioned, we are at high-end, high-tech markets and export markets. And the factors that will be in favor of us are like the China Plus One and, again, Make in India in the industrial electronics. And the third, in the ER&D services, our customers are either in France or in Europe, and they are being served from the French entity. Now we are trying to change that by increasing the offshore the mix. So actually, that market is still, you know, which we can address in a bigger way. So overall, I would say yes, that you see a lot of competition, but the way we are positioning in each of these segments, I think we are ensuring that we should be able to grow at the numbers that what we are projecting. Anything more to add? Yeah.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you so much. I'll have the best.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in the earnings conference call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insights into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you. Stay safe and stay healthy.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.